Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bible, please turn with me to the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 1, reading verse 7. "Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him." Even so, amen. Heavenly Father, I am so privileged and so undeserving, but so blessed and so privileged to be able to stand before the people today to preach your holy and magnificent word. Please speak to the people. Please help the people. Comfort them. Wherever they happen to be in life and in their walk with you, please lift them up. Please help them. And please speak to them. And Lord, I'm careful to give you the praise, the glory, and the honor in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen. The psalmist said, "I was glad when they said unto me, Let us go into the house of the Lord." I'm glad. I'm so glad to be preaching the Word of God and to be fellowshipping by radio or podcast with my brothers and sisters in Christ. I don't take it lightly that I'm a Christian. Anyone can go to church. Anyone can find a church on the corner or down the road or something and attend. But you see, to me, it's not just religion. It's not just something that I do on Sunday or Wednesday or something. Because you see, I've been born again. God Almighty has come into my heart and into my life. I've shared my testimony here on this station. I've written about it all over the internet, really. That on November 30th, 1984, at about 1:45 in the afternoon, while I was in my dorm room at LSU, Jesus Christ came into my life. Jesus Christ came into my heart, and He changed my life forever. He changed my life so wonderfully, and I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful that I have a relationship with Him. And again, I want to stress that it's not church attendance. It's not that you would go to church and do what they say, to be baptized or to give in the offering, maybe to sing in the choir, maybe to perhaps learn the doctrines. It's none of that, really. It's a relationship. I was saved out of sin, actually while in sin. The conviction of the Spirit of God fell upon me while I was engaged in a sinful life and sinful practices. I wasn't saved in a church. Really didn't want to have anything to do with church. But God reached down and touched my heart and life. Again, apart from the church. When I became a Christian, then I began to look for a good church. And it took a little while, but I finally found one that was adequate. But what I do at church from that day until now. It has nothing to do with what they teach. It has nothing to do with the rituals or traditions or customs that they have. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free, as the song says. I was glad when they said unto me, "Let us go into the house of the Lord." Again, I look for the Lord when I go to church. I don't look for the deacons. Don't care about the deacons. I don't care what the choir director might think. I don't care what the folks in the other pew might think. I go to church to praise the name of the one that saved me and delivered me and changed my heart and life. I go there to worship the one that put this wonderful Spirit, the Holy Spirit, in my heart. The one that set me free from drugs and a lifestyle of drinking in the bars and chasing women and what have you. I'm so glad to be a Christian. And I hope that you'll understand what I'm trying to say. You should have a relationship with the Lord and His Word, and not with church. Church is a man-made institution, but the Bible, it has life in it. And it will encourage you, it will strengthen you, it will instruct you as you read it. And it will show you the person of Jesus Christ, the Lord. But my text today, Revelation chapter 1, verse 7. "Behold, he cometh with clouds." You see this book, Revelation, in verse 1, it says, "The revelation of Jesus Christ." The subject is Jesus Christ. The message is Jesus Christ. The focus is Jesus Christ. And this verse here that we're reading is the central message of the book of Revelation. "Behold, he cometh with clouds." He's coming from heaven. He's going to split the eastern sky, we sing. But it says that every eye shall see him. It doesn't matter who. It doesn't matter where. But when Jesus Christ comes, every eye will see him. Everyone will know that Jesus Christ has come back to this earth. It's not going to be a religious thing. It's not going to be some program announced or put on by the church. But it's the Lord from heaven. It's God from heaven, in the person of Jesus Christ, that will come back to this earth, and every eye will see him. Every sinful deed will be uncovered and known. Jesus at one point said in the Gospels, "That which is whispered in the shadows shall be shouted from the housetops." The things that are done in secret, everyone will know about it. Every eye shall see him. Every eye shall see him. My brother, my sister, or you, sir, who are not in the fold, not a Christian, you need to get that. Jesus Christ is coming back. And when that day comes, it's all going to be over. All the things that men do in secret, all the things that men do thinking no one sees, no one hears, perhaps the thoughts that men think, and they think that it's just in my head, it's just between my ears. No one can hear. God hears. God sees. And God will not forget. And when Jesus Christ comes back, He's going to rule the nations, it says, with a rod of iron. And all things are going to be uncovered and discovered and revealed. And that ought to strike terror in the hearts of those that do not live for God. But it also ought to make the Christian quake in his boots, as it were. Because we may go to church, we may sing in the choir, but we may have evil in our hearts toward our brother or toward our sister. And what I'm saying is that we need to get our hearts right before the Lord, because He is certainly coming. Jesus Christ is certainly returning to this earth. And sinner and Christian both need to get ready for His return. We need to clean our life up, not that we can do it ourselves, not that we can turn over a new leaf, not that through willpower or determination we can make any kind of change. But what I'm saying is we need to repent of the things that we know are wrong. Agree with God that thus and thus sin is wrong and truly a sin, truly an offense to God. And again, as I said, God sees and hears everything. We need to clean our lives up by repenting and by purposing that as God helps us, we're going to do right. We need to start living by the Word of God. And again, not living by what the deacons say, not obeying the deacons or the pastor or the district or the bishop or anything, but obeying the Word of God. Because truly, with Jesus Christ, the buck stops here. Behold, He cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see Him, and they also which pierced Him, and all the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of Him. The end of the world is coming. The end of the world as we know it is coming. And I want to say it again, we need to be ready for His coming. If you've listened the last few weeks, I aired a 2-part sermon that I preached at Victory Temple Pentecostal Church of God in Prairieville, Louisiana, almost to Baton Rouge, Prairieville. And I focused on chapter 2 and chapter 3 of this book, Revelation, where Jesus addresses the churches that are in Asia, the 7 churches. And I spent a little time on each church, telling what good they did and telling what evil things some of them had done. But as we look at these 7 churches, we realize that Jesus Christ is speaking to His church. Yes, the 7 churches, but they represent and make up the church as a whole. In those 2 chapters, the Holy Spirit gives us warnings. Jesus addresses this church, that church, and gives warnings. And these warnings that we read apply to us. Maybe our church, maybe our denomination, maybe our region of the world, or maybe individually us ourselves. But these warnings apply to us. Wherever our church happens to be, whatever spiritual temperature, God has a word for us. If we've done right, He'll say, "You've done right." He'll say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord." But where we've done wrong, where we've sinned, or grown cold, or lost our first love, or allowed false doctrine to take root and to nest in our churches, Jesus has a word for us, and that word applies today. We need to get our hearts right before God. We need to get our house right before the Lord, before Jesus Christ comes. But this book, the book of Revelation, as I said in verse 7, the great theme, the central message of the book of Revelation is that Jesus Christ is coming from heaven, returning to earth to set up his kingdom and to put down all unrighteousness. But in verse 19, again, of this chapter, chapter 1, we see the outline of this book. And John, in the first chapter, he describes the vision that he had. He saw Jesus Christ. But it says, and Jesus is speaking, "Write these things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter." Three things John was supposed to write. Write the things which thou hast seen. And again, as I said in this chapter, he sees the Lord, and he describes what he saw. The second thing that he was directed to write, it says, in the things which are. The seven churches in Asia, chapter 2 and chapter 3, Ephesus, Sardis, Laodicea, etc. Those are the things that in John's day are or were. And so John writes them. But then it says, and the things which shall be hereafter. It starts off in verse 7. Behold, he cometh with clouds. But from chapter 6 to the end, the book of Revelation talks about future events. Mainly, it talks about the great tribulation and the coming of the Lord and the new kingdom that God sets up. And at the very end of the book, the last couple of chapters, it talks about the earth being remade and refashioned. You see, today, this earth is suffering because of sin. There's a curse upon it. You can look in Genesis chapter 3 and read about the fall. And all of creation is suffering because of the fall. And again, the fall had to do with the sin of mankind, Adam and Eve in the garden. And we've all heard that story. But God will remake the earth, refashion it, and all of the consequences of sin, God will remove. It says in Isaiah, a familiar passage, though folks generally misquote it, but the way that people usually think of it is this, that the lion would lay down with the lamb. But it says in the next verse, they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. If you look in the newspaper, turn on the television and catch the news, or perhaps look in an encyclopedia or a history book, we have evidence before our eyes of non-stop evil, non-stop consequences of sin. But one day Jesus Christ will return to this earth and do away with sin completely. Now I understand that the penalty for sin fell upon Jesus Christ at the cross of Calvary, and His blood was shed for the remission of sin. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Jesus came to do away with sin. And it's so today. Every Christian, in his heart, there's no sin. Every Christian who's been born again, he has a new nature. As Paul said, the old man is done away with, and the new man. Paul talks about the new man, and we're to live new and resurrected lives. And God helps us to do that by His Spirit. But though we may be born again, though God may dwell in us by the Holy Spirit, the fact remains we still live in a world that's touched and affected and cursed by sin. I can shout the praises of God on Sunday morning and then go home and read the newspaper and find out there's a war here, there's a drug killing here, there's a fire and people died there, or whatever the case. But one day Jesus Christ is coming back, and He will set up His kingdom that shall not pass away. He will put down all unrighteousness. He will stop all drug dealing. He will stop all crooked politicians. He will stop all wars. He will stop all sickness. He will stop all heartache and loneliness. Because you see, friend, Jesus Christ is the answer to the problems of this world. And yes, we can have that answer in our hearts. And I have it. And I pray that you would hear and listen and say, I want it. I want the answer. And certainly Jesus Christ and the answer is available today. But one day, the book of Revelation says, God will remake the earth, and the consequence of the fall will be gone. The consequence of sin and war and plague and disease and etc. will all be gone. It will all be gone. And we're going to live with God forever and ever and ever, in the new heaven and the new earth. Let me read it. Revelation chapter 21, verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. I'm looking for that day. I'm so anxious for that day. And I want to extend an invitation to you who are listening. If you don't know Jesus Christ, if you perhaps certainly have heard of Him, maybe you attend church, but He doesn't live in your heart. I'll simply ask that you've heard the message, and there's a hunger and a thirst in your heart for the things that I preached. Simply say, Lord, I believe. Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I know I need to do right. And I believe. And I want the things that Brother Kelly has said. Please forgive my sins, Jesus, and come into my heart and help me to live for you. And I want to be with you in the new kingdom. If you turn to God with your whole heart, He'll turn to you. You can take Him at His word. You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.